What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in. It's me, K-Mac, and I'm pleased to bring you another episode of the Garage Talk Sports Podcast.
Alrighty, today is March 6th, 2023. I'm coming back at you with another Garage Talk Sports Podcast. Wanted to do a full Yankees episode, but you know, too many things happened in the world of sports over the weekend. The big Liverpool 7-0 thrashing over Manchester United. Good Formula One race. And then UFC 285, John Bones Jones makes his return. So we have a lot to talk about. I think just with the Yankees, we're going to look at some key players, key standout players from the spring training. Talk about the pitch clock a little bit. Won't be the first time, won't be the last. Going to hear a lot about this pitch clock and the new rules. Possibly IKF trade. We'll see a little bit later on in the show. But yeah, like I said, just a lot going on in the world of sports. World of sports over the weekend. Let's start in Liverpool, Scouserland. 7-0 thrashing against Man City. So this is actually Man U's biggest or heaviest defeat in club history. And the history is pretty extensive. The club started in 1878. That's 92 years. I'll just take you through some of the big losses. 1931. It's a few years ago, 7-0 to Wolves. 1930, 7-0 to Aston Villa. And 1926, Blackburn Rovers, 7-0. So, record-breaking day for Liverpool. I don't think we'll forget this one. Just a monumental performance for Liverpool in this one. We just run through some of the stats quick. 71% possession, 5 shots on target, 1,083 touches to Man U's 503, 897 total passes to Man U's little over half, 354. But they had well under less than half of our touches, so just goes to show how crisp and precise the Liverpool play was. Not only did we break the record or tie for heaviest defeat in Man U history, Mo Salah passed Robbie Fowler with the most club goals after netting his second in the 83rd minute to give him 129 goals. So yeah, Mo Salah running down the wing. Just to close things out here in the Liverpool front. So now they're, one game in hand, 3 points back of Spurs. So we're looking good. Champions League fight is coming alive. We're almost there. And Jurgen kind of said it at the end of the match. He didn't do his three fist pump to the cop. He said he's going to save it for a better time. Just before we move on to maybe some UFC here and just let the ball keep rolling with Liverpool, just a fun little quick stat. Since Mohamed Salah has joined Liverpool, he has more yellow cards for celebrating after a goal than Man U has goals against Liverpool at Anfield, which is two. So, Liverpool fans, if you know any Man U fans, that's a good one to rub in the face. Okay, but anyways, we'll just keep moving, motoring right along here. Why not? Let's just jump right into UFC 285. All around, it was a great card. Kind of knew that going in. Card was stacked. Just talk about the main event quick. Like, that's an easy bet. I mean, if anybody's trying to make some money, how can you not bet undefeated fighter? Like, John Jones. He was at minus 170 going into the fight. Yeah, that's, I've seen a lot worse bets out there, especially in recent days. So yeah, we'll talk a bit more about that. Kind of three fights that I just want to talk about. Obviously the main event, co-main event, new flyweight women's champion. Yeah, and we'll talk about the Bull Nickel debut. So, just get right back into the main event here. John Jones choked out Cyril, you know, first round, within a few first minutes. No real big signs of ring rust. Kind of know that with Jones, though. He's came off layoffs before and not showing any signs of regression. So, just cool to see a prime athlete come back from such a long layoff. And he is also older now, so it makes things, you know, that much harder. But I just couldn't help but think it should have been Ngannou Francis, you know, Francis Ngannou rather than Cyril. Kind of sucks UFC couldn't keep him around, but maybe they could do a prize fight or something. I pay pay-per-view for that rather than this, this, what do you want to call it, Jake Paul circus show. But yeah, so big question now coming out of that fight is who's next for Jones. Probably going to be Stipe. I already kind of called him out after the fight. So I'd probably say my books, this be the best comeback in UFC history. I don't know a lot of other guys that have just come back and, you know, added 40 pounds, taken 3 years off, and then just dominated in the first round like that. That being said, I do still have GSP as the GOAT, the greatest of all time in my books. Will never really be any fighter as good as him, to be honest. Maybe that's a little biased because I am Canadian, but you know, that'll never change. GSP, GOAT. But yeah, if we just look at some of the betting lines on this, I actually laid some money on the KO, TKO submission or DQ, plus 175 for an undefeated fighter, John Jones, John Bone Jones. Guys, that's easy money. Come on, I laid $100, cashed out 275. That's going to cash all day, okay? And a lot of these guys are looking too much into it, doing all these parlays and everything. Just look at the lines, plus 175 for John Jones. It's just a no-brainer. So yeah, if you are betting, I can give you some good tips on this channel. It gets kind of frustrating when you see people betting blindly and just wasting money away. Like, guys, if you're betting, just make sure you do your homework, all right? But yeah, let's go into the co-main event. This was actually my favorite fight of the night. I really think it should have been a fight of the night. Kind of looked like the bullet was kind of a little rusty bullet in there. Maybe she's showing some signs of age. Who knows? But I'm sure she'll be back and we'll get a rematch. Yeah, looking at the bet line for this one, Valentina was minus 900. That line's pretty crazy. I haven't seen a kind of line like that since, like, Khabib. That's like a Khabib line. And for anyone that betted the Grosso plus 600, I think even other places she was plus 9, plus 8. So, congratulations on that. But, yeah, Grosso came out and showed that she can hang and bang with some of these toughest. She is the toughest girl in the division now. So, yeah, took her to round 4, you know, rear naked choke, beautiful choke. You could actually see once after Valentina tapped, you could see the pressure marks, and Valentina's face was so red, you could see the pressure marks from the amount of pressure and force that Grosso actually had. I know she didn't quite sink that rear naked choke, but it was definitely pressure on the carotid artery. And, yeah, you could see the white stripe from the pressure that Grosso had on her. Yeah, if we jump, we'll just break down the fight a little bit quick. I did have it pretty close. I'd say draw going into, or not draw, even, maybe split decision, Valentina going into round four. But if you look at Valentina, 165 total strikes, 4 takedowns, 8 significant strikes. So pretty good. And then we'll compare to Rosso with 182 strikes, no takedowns, 59 significant strikes. But she did have the one golden submission attempt, you know, that she did end up winning. So, you know, you got to make those submission attempts count, and she did. But if you look at those numbers, Valentina was probably in the lead going into round four. So it's good for Grosso to, you know, dig deep and find something and change the outcome. I think if they do fight again, Valentina will be favored again. But I don't think she'll be as favorite. Maybe minus 300, minus 250. She is still a bullet. You know, you couldn't pay me enough to get in the ring with either one of these ladies. So, yeah, that was a great fight. Fun to watch. Yeah, I can't wait for the next one. All right. And just the last kind of 285 thing I want to talk about. Big hyped Bo Nickel. Definitely here to stay. Dominant performance. You could see that classic wrestling, USA wrestling style kind of come out. Dominant, like low shoulders, low center of gravity. They work hard down there. I would say BJJ needs maybe a bit of work. The positioning in his triangle was hard to watch. Just kind of tried to give him the wrestling pressure while he had him in a triangle. But like, all you need to do basically from that position is sink your hips. You just sink through. Like, if he would have been in a sitting position in that triangle, game over. And then somehow coming out of Pickett's corner right after the fight, I guess they're going to be filing a grievance for a no contest, for a low blow, which I went through the fight and I didn't see anything crazy, nothing like Cyril against Jones. I guess we'll see in the coming days what's to come of that. I don't really see them taking a victory away from this up-and-coming star, Bo Nickel. So, just a great overall card, great performance by all fighters, and can't wait for the next John Jones fight, to be honest. We'll see what happens. Maybe we get Crybaby DC finally off the mic and back into the ring for one more. We'll see. All right, last thing before we get into break down some Yankee spring training. Just want to review quick the Formula One, just because it was an awesome race in Bahrain. The Red Bulls just look like they're running on rails. Finished 1 and 2. Nobody could even come close to them. Just a great performance by that Honda car. Be nice to see some kind of team maybe challenge Max this year. Doesn't look like the Mercedes car is going to come close to that. They're still figuring out some problems. Looks like the next best car is going to be that Aston Martin. Definitely a lot of pace. P3 for Fernando Alonso, the dad of the circuit. He showed his how much time he's been around the track, just waited back, found his opportunities, made passes when they were open, and just ran a good race. Some cars that look like they may have some problems, or McLaren's got serious problems. They should just design a whole new car. Looks like they can't even put 5 laps together. I'm surprised Lando Norris didn't storm out of the car. Good for him for actually finishing the race. Another thing that a lot of people aren't talking about is the Ferrari car had major bouncing issues. If you watch, they're porpoising a lot. Probably the only car that was bouncing, so they might have some suspension issues there. But yeah, looking forward to a great season in Formula One, and honestly hope McLaren can figure some stuff out, because they are a good team. So yeah, I think without further ado, let's jump into some Yanks talk. So I think, yeah, as far as the Yankees spring training goes, there's a couple key players that would like to just go through and bring up, and I think the future is very bright for the Yankees, and hopefully we can see these kids play later on. Then we'll go through the little left field battle, if that's what you still want to call it. We'll talk pitch clock quick. I know it's getting a little redundant with the pitch clock. I'm already sick of hearing about it, but it's going to be like that all season. So, and then we have a little IKF insider trade that I want to get to. So, alrighty. Couple key guys, I think, coming out of the spring training we got to look at. I hope everyone's looking at Anthony Volpe, Jason Dominguez, Oswaldo Cabrera, Aaron Hicks, Rafael Ortega, and Willie Calhoun. Now, I know you're probably wondering why I left Oswaldo Peraza out. For me, honestly, he's not doing it for me. He might be, I think he's in kind of the same boat as IKF. Just kind of trade bait at this point. Like, there's no room for him really on the infield. So we'll get into a bit of that later. And the reason there's no room for him in the infield is because of this kid, Anthony Volpe. My personal opinion is, why wait till midseason? He's ready to go. He's a game changer. IKF's going to be traded. So is Peraza. The kid's a game changer. He's a base stealing shortstop. He already has 2 bags swiped in 5 games. 15 ABs, 5 hits, 333 average, 375 on base percentage, 667 slugging, 1.04 OPS, and 2 of his hits were doubles. So I know it's a small sample size, but I think I'm buying all the Anthony Volpe stock I can get, because this kid's going to be a superstar. And honestly, as a Yankee fan, I'm sick of waiting. I want to see him start. Why would Peraza be the starter over this kid? Obviously, he's shown that he wants a spot. Let's give him what he's earned here. You know, if he's on another team, and I think this is the same thing for this next guy we're going to talk about, but if he was on another team, he would have been up playing last year. Sometimes the Yankees like to hang on and hold these guys, and it gets kind of frustrating when you see so much talent and then you get to the regular season and you don't get to see him again. And that brings me into the next guy, Jason Dominguez, the Martian, you know, switch hitter. This kid's going to be a future superstar. Is he going to make his debut this year? I think he's earned it in spring training. I don't know if there's room for him, but, you know, make room at this point. Maybe he needs a bit more development, but like I said, same with Volpe. Like, if he was on any other team, I think, maybe not any other team, or say just for fun, the Blue Jays, both these players would have been up last year, you know. But the Blue Jays are kind of notorious for not letting their players develop. But is there such thing as overdevelopment? I don't know. But yeah, just quick, if you watched, I think it was the last or the one before Yankee spring training game against the Braves, Dominguez came up in a clutch spot, top of the ninth. Top of the ninth, 5-6, 3-run home run. That's a clutch spot for a kid like that. Yanks take the lead, go on to win the game. Just real exciting. Yeah, so he's played 6 games, 12 ABs, 5 hits, tied with Oswaldo for first in hits, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, 417 batting average, 500 on base percentage, 1.47 OPS. You know, even if he doesn't really come up a lot or even at all this year, it's definitely an exciting future for Yankee fans, and can't wait to see this kid play in pinstripes one day. You know, it's gonna be awesome, right next to Aaron Judge. Like, come on, it's gonna be sweet. And then obviously you can't really go through this list without talking about Oswaldo Cabrera. I think he's gonna be a household name by the end of the year, Yankee favorite by the end of the year. Like, how can you not like this guy? I don't know if you guys caught the little charismatic mic'd up interview that he had. I think that was with Ryan Rucco during the game. And they asked him, Oswaldo, what position would you want to play if Aaron Boone let you play any position? And he said center field. And the reason he said center field is because he's never played center field. So he thought it would be fun if he could try out center field. And I think that just shows the confidence in this kid. He wants to play anywhere. He wants to do anything for his team to win. And I think guys feed off that. You know, it's great for the clubhouse, the energy he brings. It's going to be awesome. I think he's a starting left fielder for opening day. Why not? If not him, maybe Aaron Hicks. And that brings me into my next kind of guy I want to talk to. Hicksy's looking pretty good in spring training. Kind of a new swing. You know, he's not releasing that front arm, kind of the one-handed battle axe chop that he's doing. Staying firm, you know, through the base path, both hands on the ball. He's got that one home run, which was a moonshot. Right now, I think it's between Cabrera and Hicks for the left field starting. But if they share that role, you know, that's all right. But I think Hicks has got two of these lefty bats nipping at his heels. And I'm pretty sure we talked about this in the very first episode that we did. Rafael Ortega, the guy who was flying out like crazy at Wrigley Field. And we've heard this before, guys going to Wrigley Field and having serious problems. He's coming to Yankee Stadium where those fly balls and those fly outs are home runs. And he's showing it in spring training. Now, a lot of the Yankee, we'll call them hater fans, are jumping on the Ortega train, you know. And we tried to tell you guys 2 or 3 months ago about this guy. This is a great signing. King Cash, always trusting King Cash. So he's had 8 ABs, 3 hits, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs. Then the other guy, Willie Calhoun, just kind of an under the radar signing. Who's really dealt with injury problems for a lot of his career. Looks really comfortable, really focused at the plate. And I think he's right there with that left field battle. Like I said, if you want to call it that, you know, I feel like before spring training it was kind of a worrisome left field battle, but it's almost kind of turned into somewhat of a fun, easy to watch. Because now it's kind of like, it's not a battle anymore, it's just who's it going to be? Because any of these guys, it looks like they can play left field on starting day, which is awesome. So you know what, everyone who said, oh, get rid of Boone, get rid of Cash, no, always trusting King Cash. All right, Daddy Cash is here, we'll be okay. All right. So, yeah, bright future for the Yankees. Think things are looking up. We just need to pump the brakes a little bit here for a bit. I know it's spring training, just a small sample size with these guys, but I think that's all we need. That's all you need to see, right? That's what spring training's about. And then that's a perfect kind of little segue into my next topic here is the pitch clock and just kind of how things are evolving a little bit. You know, it's spring training. This is the time where we get kinks out, you work kinks out, you try new things. This doesn't work, you do this. You know, this is why we have spring training. The whole pitch clock, I think it's going to save the game. If you watch the game, you know it has more actions. There's more runs. Average game is 2 hours, 15 minutes, or 16, 17, whatever. I think, which is great for the game. Like, I know Yankees, Red Sox, classic four-hour game, but, like, there goes your whole afternoon. You know what I mean? So, I think they're going to work out the kinks. It'll be better. This isn't what we're going to see on opening day. You have to remember that. This is why we're trying everything new. You know, this isn't going to be what we're seeing come opening day. We're going to try to have the perfect form of baseball they can for opening day. That's why they're trying or doing random things. And you have guys like Max Scherzer, you know, pushing the limits when it comes to the clock. Also guys like Wandy, you know, the 10-second or 20-second strikeout was pretty cool. You know, kind of the pitchers turning it on its head, almost putting something, changing it into almost a batter's clock. And I think Trevor Plouffe said something really well on the Baseball Today podcast, or Talking Baseball podcast, John Boy Media, sorry. He said, you know, it'd be as simple as having the umpire just point, ready to go, start the clock. That would start, kind of force the pitchers not to leave the batters kind of high and dry, because that's the thing at the end of the day. It's a pitch clock, not a batter's clock. So hopefully they work that kink out. And I know I said it before, but I'll say it again. Just be prepared, you know, because this is going to be the talk of the town all season long, is the pitch clock and the new rules. And I feel like every single game we're going to have to get a recap of the rules, look at the base pads, you know. So new thing, new game, they're trying to bring new fans in. So let's just be on the MLB, be on the baseball side, you know. As humans, we're always evolving, so let's evolve with this game. You know, why play the same game that was played back in the 30s or even longer before that? All right, well, kind of last little thing I have here, last little topic I have. I actually have a quote that I want to read for everyone here. And this is a quote from USA Today, Bob Nightingale. Now that the Los Angeles Dodgers are without shortstop Gavin Lux for the season, look for them to revisit trade talks with New York Yankees about Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. The trouble, however, is that Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is earning $6 million, and the Dodgers would like to reset their luxury tax to pursue Shohei Ohtani without any restrictions. So, there you go, guys. You know, Gavin Lux, just a really heartbreaking kind of injury for the Dodgers. Tore ACL, slide in the third. I don't know if you've seen it. You've seen it. If you didn't, I was going to say look it up, but I probably wouldn't look it up because it's kind of a bad injury. He kind of had a breakout year last year for the Dodgers, shortstop, second baseman. The Dodgers are in serious trouble right now. They need an infielder. The other day they actually had Mookie playing second base. He actually made a nice play at second base, but I can't see that lasting too long for LA. So I think a perfect partner would be IKF. You know, I don't think he has a lot of trade value, but the Dodgers definitely have some bullpen depth over there. And I think maybe we could add, you know, a younger bullpen guy or two that you maybe haven't heard of before. Just because he's worth, you know, so AL brainwashed over here. We don't get to see a lot of the National League, which will be nice about this year, is playing some of these National League teams. Yeah, I think the Yankees will look to fucking skid away IKF. Just because the Dodgers are in serious need of a shortstop and quick. And hopefully we'll be able to get some, bolster that bullpen a little bit more for IKF. Or you know what, we could even see how far they want to go, you know. We'll talk, we'll see. We have Peraza as well. You know, they have a few prospects. I can't think off the top of my head right now, but maybe we can make a trade there. Again, like I said, trust in King Cash. And the Yankees have been linked to the Los Angeles Dodgers in the past couple days. So, yeah, we'll see if something happens here, maybe before the regular season, maybe a couple days in. But who knows? Yeah. All right. Well, I think that concludes things here. We're going to probably be back at you in a few days if nothing major happens, maybe a week or so. But yeah, hopefully we can be back in a couple days and say that IKF has packed his bags and he's on his way out. All right, well, thanks for listening and adios amigos. That was Garage Talk Sports Podcast. Yeah.